You're listening to the Strongpreneur Nation podcast with your host, Tom Reber.
Hey, welcome to the Strongpreneur podcast. My name's Tom Reber, and today I'm excited to have, you guys are the first duo that we've had on the podcast. I'd like to welcome Steve Ark and Shane Herman from Midwest Fit Club. How are you guys doing?
We're making history on the nation here. That's
great. It's big deal either way, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I really do. I think I don't think I've done a threesome before. So here you go.
Don't tell our wives and Shane's girlfriend.
Yeah, no kidding. So check it out. So how this came about, and I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to just share who you are and what you guys are doing, and then we'll get into things. But I had reached out on Facebook to the Strongpreneur community, and I just said, "Hey, I'm looking for the owner of an independent gym that meets certain criteria of revenue and years in business and stuff like that." And I ended up getting your name from a friend of mine, Karen. And we touched base a month or so ago, and here we are today. So that's, you know, just if you're listening to this, that's how I found these guys. I'm excited to have them on the show because I think they got a pretty cool story. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm Shane. I started an independent training company about 7 years ago, and I was renting out a couple facilities. I met Steve. We were working together as a client-trainer relationship. And we would always talk about the future of the industry, the future of my business, and, you know, kind of where we both want to go. And through our partnership in fitness, we decided to take it to the next level and start Midwest Fit Club. We each had individuals that we knew that we could bring to the table with their own strengths. And we utilized everyone's strengths in a certain way, started with Midwest Fit Club in Naperville 4 years ago. And 2 years after that, we opened up MFC Sports Performance separately in Darien and brought on one of our employees into that whole process. He's now partnered up with us there. And things are constantly rolling, you know, going a different direction. We're getting a lot of club team organizations involved and doing a lot of corporate wellness, doing a lot of things off-site as well as in-house that a lot of other facilities in the industry aren't really necessarily doing. So it's a lot of exciting stuff, exciting place to be, always something different.
Good deal. How about you, Steve? What's your take?
Well, I agree with his sentiment. It's just interesting how a couple of training sessions eventually led to me partnering with Shane to open up a business. And so it's been a very fun ride. We've had a lot of interesting things come our way, but I think Shane and I work very well together, which I think has been a success for us. I think we're pretty good communicators with each other, and it's just led to it's taken a little bit of time, but just within the last few weeks, we've reached a lot of success levels and opening new doors of things we can do here. So I'm just really excited about what we can do here at Midwest Fit Club.
Cool. I'm excited to talk to you guys because, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are in the strength and fitness industry. And quite frankly, I hear from a lot of them, and a lot of them have businesses that are struggling. So I really wanted to pick your brain. Now, is this, Shane, sounds like you had a business or two before this?
Correct.
Okay. And how about you, Steve? Is this your first merry-go-round, or are you a seasoned business owner?
I've run and operated a couple of businesses on a smaller scale, but in terms of the amount of volume of activity, this is kind of the biggest animal that I've ever had to take on. It's just interesting, the partnership that we started with is that Shane is a personal trainer by trade, so he would be the guy that handles the front of the house, be kind of the face of the club, where I handle kind of the back end of the business and that sort of thing. And Shane's come along so much over the last couple of years that he's become very proficient on both the business side and on the personal training side, which is great for me in general. But I think it just shows the growth of him as an individual.
Well, Steve, I appreciate that. I think, Tom, one thing that's important to mention, if you are someone out there that's looking to start an endeavor in the fitness industry and be necessarily the boss or the leader, there's a lot of hats you have to wear. And you have to be comfortable with that and willing to go with the flow, as that kind of statement goes.
Mm-hmm. So, Steve, you had no fitness industry background, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so...
Well, I'll take that back. Outside of being a front desk manager for about 6 or 7 months, I think kind of on a low scale of starting in the fitness industry. So, I guess that was my introduction into things on a very low level, but that actually got me excited about the possibilities of doing something and doing things differently than what I was seeing before. So, yeah, just on a very small level. I mean, if you compare the fitness industry experience between Shane and myself going into opening this business, it's just a landslide. He's got a lot more experience in the industry.
And that what I was going to ask you is, what was it about the industry that made you want to roll the dice on something like this?
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily the industry as a whole. I just thought the opportunity to work with Shane and some of the people that we had in common to start up our own spot and do things the way we wanted to. I think the initial feeling is that we didn't want to be part of a chain. We wanted to be able to control our own destinies and do things the way we wanted to see fit without having to report to anybody else. And then that also bring on employees that have the freedom to do things they deem correct, whether it's a marketing person or personal trainer. I think the leeway that we've given people outside of a corporate environment has been very fruitful for us.
So 4 years now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what?
We're coming up on an anniversary on December 21st.
Oh, so congratulations.
Fourth year. Thanks.
So guys, what's, I worked a number of years in a partnership in one of my older businesses, and I'm just curious from your take, now that you guys been at it for 4 years, what's been the biggest challenge for you guys in the partnership?
I just think mainly it's making sure that we're in communication, and if there's something that I'm supposed to do, have a clear direction on where it's going to go, when I should have it done by, and also making sure that nothing's slipping through the cracks just in general with our subjects that we're kind of in charge of.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
Just having those clear roles defined and keeping each other in the loop with that and all that. That's,
right.
Yeah.
I think I'm very fortunate on the fact that Shane and I have been pretty much on the same page when it comes to decisions and the things that we said to do. I think we talk things out. We never take things personally. And I think that we work pretty well together after this amount of time. So I don't think that's the case always with partnerships like this. So I'm knock on wood as I'm knocking right now. Things have been going pretty well so far.
Good deal.
I think for Steve and I, what helped also is having a good relationship before all this. I mean, I would go to his house and I helped him build his grill and his back deck and I train with his wife, and we can be pretty upfront with each other on basically everything, and kind of unbutton the conversation a little bit and be pretty straightforward with things. So,
yeah, that I think one of the greatest qualities of a partnership in general, I think, is that you both have to feel safe to just say what's on your mind, because it's truly a marriage. So when you guys look at the fitness industry as a whole, if you could wave a magic wand over it and fix something, what would it be?
Oh man, just let me gather my thought for a second. I guess, there's so many misconceptions in the fitness industry on what's what. I mean, people think that there's exercises just for women and just for men, and, maybe classes just for women, just for men. And, we really try and open the doors to the masses here and not go with any niche market. We just stick to the bread and butter of what works: big compound, multi-muscular, multi-joint exercises, getting in a lot of healthy nutrition, focusing on inclusive eating, and focusing less on the things that people need to avoid, just really sticking to what works and trying to avoid any bells and whistles, really, I guess you could say, that go along with that. So But as the fitness industry as a whole, like I was saying with the niche markets, we're open to everybody here. We're open to the basic member, someone who wants to do classes, someone who wants to do personal training. But we're not going to turn anybody away. So,
Can I add one thing to what Shane said? On top of that, I think one thing that bugs me about the industry is that there's a conception that gyms are just open to taking your money and not really building a relationship on top of that. We'll just let you pay your dues. And if you want to do more than just regular working out, that's entirely up to you. I think it's just the relationship building might not be there for a lot of businesses, as opposed to what we try to do here at Midwest Fit Club. And we've been pretty successful doing that here too. So I think that's one of those things where I want people to feel like they're a person there working out rather than just a faceless person.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, of course, we want a lot of memberships, but I think too many gyms get focused on just getting as many memberships as possible, whereas we really want an active membership base, and we want to see improvements and progress with the individuals utilizing their membership.
Yeah, it's just for us, retention is just as big as getting new people in the door. I think those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, well, it's about adding value. You know, if people are getting value and they feel you care and they're tied in and, you know, they're going to stick around, and that's really in any business. And it's always a lot easier to, you know, keep who you have than find new ones.
Right.
So
that process,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've developed a lot of brand ambassadors just through our own membership base by focusing on developing that community and culture here. They do a lot of the promotions for us. A lot of our new memberships come from active members that we currently have, and I think that's extremely valuable.
And the other thing on top of that is most of the people that work for us started out as just members here, which is really interesting that they just like the vibe and the feel here, and they actually wanted to be a part of it. And that's where a lot of people see working here. That's how they started. And that's just a fascinating part that I've encountered that I would never have predicted.
So, you know, you brought up brand ambassadors, and, you know, it leads me into, I guess, where my mind goes from that is how you guys approach your marketing. You know, in 4 years, it seems like you've accomplished quite a bit since you launched this thing. What's your philosophy on marketing? How do you go about it? What are some of the steps and things like that you guys have taken that have really benefited you?
Well, first of all, we certainly aren't experts in that area, and it's been a lot of trial and error on that. So it's been very hard to find the right way to do that. But I think for us right now, we've taken a lot to social media and done advertising in that medium. And that's really been the most productive way that we've got more foot traffic here and more recognition with either our Facebook page or our website. So I think that's been a key, but we want to do some more proactive marketing rather than reactive. And by that, we have the ESPN sound. I think Jason Hayward is just blowing up my phone right now. I apologize. But I think at both of our locations, we brought in two specific people to handle our marketing and actively going out to build relationships with people in the community. And that's something that we've had people try to do before, but we're having more success doing it that way. So I think it's being really active on our end and then really participating in an advertising medium that's really blowing up right now. And it's been very successful for us in the last couple of months.
Yeah. And to add to that, Tom, like Steve was saying, we have tried a lot of things and some things haven't necessarily hit. We haven't seen a big return on mail marketing and things like that. But at this point, what's working best is having a solid referral program in place, which I think every club should have in place. And also, like I was saying, just having those good relationships with your members to where they are genuinely talking about it to their friends. And on top of that, the individuals that are getting results, they're walking billboards. I mean, who doesn't want results that they're getting also?
Yeah. What's been one? What comes to mind when I ask you what one of your biggest marketing blunders has been?
Oh Lord. Well, I think we've hired some consultants that didn't really work. I think we did some radio advertising, which I think we set something up to be very successful that didn't necessarily pan out. Just doing some active work with a couple of hosts. I think we had right intentions, and I think I thought it was a good gamble, but yeah, just I think. The big thing early on is that we did some piecemeal marketing, just hoping that something sticked, rather than having an actual plan of having an end goal for all of these things, rather than just hoping that something works out. I think we've been much smarter on how we approach things. We have a definite plan of what we want to do. We know what the end result's going to be, and I just love the direction that we're going right now as opposed to when we first started.
Yeah. Some of the mail marketing initially, it made sense, whether it was a hit or miss, because we're going to get that brand recognition. Will people see our logo, be able to attach us to it? And it wasn't really a big turnout. So we just kind of did away with it. But the things that have turned out being the best, most fruitful has been the cheapest or free avenues for that. Like Steve was saying, social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, things like that.
But not only that, just using that, but also advertising on those mediums too, which it's been a little bit more expensive, but we've got the best return out of anything we've ever done in terms of marketing.
Okay, so what, you know, let's pretend that I decided to open up a gym in my area here this week. And I called you up and I said, all right, hey, you know, give me some quick coaching on this social media stuff to market my gym. What are some things that come to mind, an approach you've taken or certain tactics or whatever? What do you feel has gotten you the biggest bang?
Well, I think finding a good frequency with your posts and also finding a consistent message that you're going to go with and finding some consistency in what you're going to be promoting is, I think, really important. We've done a lot on YouTube also. I think at this point we've put out, 70 or 80 videos. And YouTube, if people like that page, they'll send an email out letting everybody know who likes that page that we just put out a new video.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty valuable also. And that's something constantly that people could go back and look into.
And then why don't you talk about the actual videos you're doing now with your weekly workouts?
Yeah, so I try and myself or the staff do a video once a week or put out some kind of a blog or informational tip for the masses. And people talk about it. We put out on our Constant Contacts email list that we have our members on. They see it. We encourage them to like and share it. We boost posts sometimes on Facebook, and that goes to the friends groups of members that have liked our page. And I think that's really been beneficial. And like Steve was saying, we've done some more paid advertisements lately that have been paying off a little bit, getting us a lot more views online. So as far as social media goes, finding the consistent message, once you start doing something like that, I think you have to really stick with it and get behind it. You can't, take any less action on it once you get the ball rolling.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you'll stick with a certain theme for a while. How long do you stick with something and how do you know what that theme should be? And when do you know it's time to move on? What does that look like?
You know, I don't think it's ever wrong to come back and touch up on things again, and people forget that stuff and it's good to refresh everyone. But as far as themes, I would guess just be consistent with what your brand is all about. So I wouldn't necessarily say I'm against something 1 week or and then 5 weeks later say, this is something that could be beneficial. As we know in the fitness industry, there could be a lot of change in information out there. So I guess just be consistent with the overall message you're sending out.
Okay. What's your membership look like? I mean, about how many are you sitting at?
Well, right now we're about 1,100 people. We have a good following that takes fitness classes here. So we have a couple segments. People can just come here and use the gym, but we also have an all access pass where people can take unlimited classes each month. And our personal training membership has really grown, our personal training base, I should say. And that's due to the good group of trainers that we have on staff. And good is kind of underselling them. I'd say it's a great group of people. So it's something that we're always looking to grow out. But I want to harp on the fact that I said before, the people that we want to come in, we want to build relationships with. So I don't want to overgrow or, you know, sell too many of our general memberships just so we can have the time, the opportunity for people to come in and have the room to work out and get to meet us as people.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, I've talked to other business owners, gym owners, and things like that, is the challenge of keeping people tied in. You know, they join, you're all excited that they're new and they're there and they get all the love. And then the longer they're there, they kind of don't get the attention they did before. How do you guys, you know, keep that connection going with so many members?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Tom. Steve and I talk about that a lot on our end. We have a weekly meeting ourselves with our manager staff, and something that's always a topic is finding something that we could do in-house for our members currently for the following months to come, you know, not just next week. And also finding something that can encourage people who are not members to come in also. So we're always focused on what we can do for our members in-house. And that's something we're always thinking about on our end too. Outside of creating an awesome experience every time they're here, of course.
Yeah. So when you look back to when you guys kicked this thing off, does anything stand? Earlier I asked you about, you know, marketing blunders or mistakes that you made, because we've all made them. And but is there anything that you look back on and you go, boy, that was brilliant? You know, like, that was a really awesome move on our part.
Well, over the course of soon to be 4 years, we've had a lot of curveballs thrown our way. For example, our gym is hit by two individual cars over the last 4 years. And that's just not something you really plan on, getting a phone call saying, hey, someone's driven your car through the glass and hit treadmills and what have you.
Oh,
and
man.
I guess the point of that is having a good resource network to help us out in situations like this, where we don't have to be masters in every area. We just have people that we can go to right away and be able to have them handle things. And we've taken some time to really get a close group of people that we work with. Not that we're expecting more cars to come through, but I'm you know, for health insurance for our plan here, we just started working with a broker that we absolutely love working with. And I think he's been a great addition to the team. And as some areas, I mean, everyone's going to have a good attorney, good financial planner. The list goes on and on and on. And I think just, I don't think there's been one specific aha moment, but just kind of when I analyze what's going on with the business and having the resources we have right now, I feel much better about where we're at this point than we were 2 years ago when it comes to this area of having people that we can go to if we need help.
Yeah. And on the people note, I guess my sense that I would add to that is one aha moment that I had a while back, and this is also, you know, benefited through some of the coaching that I've had also, is, you know, we need to be looking at our next employees and looking for them as actively as we are our next client. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because we are constantly growing and we're planning on taking on new contracts and doing things offsite. And I guess I want to make a note that we have a really low turnover rate for our staff compared to most gyms or fitness centers. And I think that says a lot about us and the environment we have here. But I think ultimately it's creating that second level of leadership underneath you. I came out here and did all this with Steve also because I know I can't do it all myself. And, yeah, you know, I do have to be able to rely on the team underneath me. And I think putting a lot of focus into our team has been one of the best things that we have done at this point to help push our business to the next level.
That's awesome. So yeah, that makes me think, or want to ask you, how do you go about determining if somebody's a good fit to come on your staff? And then, how do you go about training them in your way? What's that look like? Well,
yeah, absolutely. I guess in the past, you know, I mean, we haven't had it perfect with everybody you take on. I mean, some people, you know, things might sound really great initially, but you see a lack of action when they start taking, you know, strides towards where you want them to be. But I think for me, what I look for is more of a personality and developing skills instead of hiring a skill set and trying to, you know, work with that individual as a person, because they're not going to change as an individual. And I think, as you know, with this industry, it's got to be the right person, because as much as selling what you're selling who you are, and people are going to buy on to an individual as much as they are with personal training. So I think in that note, it's hiring personality and developing that skill. And in the last few years, developing that skill, I've put some operating procedures in place as far as getting our personal trainers up to speed, as far as fitness assessments, training protocols, even for our front desk staff. We have some standard operating procedures with getting them in place. And I wish I would have them in place, you know, from day one. But, you know, those are things you're going to be constantly changing and hoping expanding on anyway. So I think at this point, I've got it at a really good point for a lot of guys and girls coming on to get them going in the right direction.
So for somebody listening to this who owns a gym and they know they have to put some systems in place and procedures and things like that, can either of you give us a step-by-step how to put together a system?
Is that in terms of hiring somebody?
Well, any pick a system. It could be the way we onboard a client. It could be how we greet somebody when they come in. What's that look like when you guys develop a system for your business?
I think first of all, one thing that Steve and I have gotten in the habit of doing is, with some positions, putting a probationary period in when we first take someone on, especially, you know, putting the investment into individuals, you know, we want to make sure we're getting the return in the long run. So if possible, when you take on people, I would put on a probationary period of 60 days if you could, just because you really want to be sure that's the right fit for them and for you when you take on somebody. And you know, for example, with our front desk staff, we train them on what we call the get all pumped. And I learned this from Jim Thomas. I'll plug him in right now. Mm-hmm. It's a greeting when the member comes in. It's an evaluation of their needs while you're giving them the tour, and the tour is next. During the tour, we're evaluating the needs of this person, why they're here, what they're looking to do. After that, we go over an analysis of what we have here at Midwest Fit Club that's going to benefit this individual, and that kind of leads into the presentation of their needs. And ultimately, we don't have real, you know, not everyone's going to be a strong salesperson that we take on at the front desk, especially if I'm hiring a 19-year-old kid who's, you know, going to school for computer science or something. And if we kind of put them in the right mindset to where they're selling solutions to people's needs as they come in here, and they wouldn't be coming in here if they didn't need some kind of direction as far as their health and wellness goes. So more so explaining to them that people should be sold on the results and the solutions we have to their problems when they come in here. And closing them is ultimately just presenting them what we have here that can benefit them the most. And I guess that's a specific procedure for the front desk staff. I mean, for trainers, I have them shadow a lot. I have them observe a lot of the training here. Before I even hire them, I have them audition. I have them do what I call a 10-minute test. I have them write up a class, a boot camp style class in 10 minutes, and I look at that. I have them train one of my clients, and I observe them do that. And then even when I take them on, I put them in the probationary period, and I train them on my operating procedures for fitness assessments, which is kind of my thing. And then also on how to go about classes, our formats here, and personal training sessions also. So,
and I just want to say on top of the probationary period, I think that's a kind of a tough thing to sell to people, because if they're leaving a current position to join us and they see that we have a probationary period, I think if we're saying that they need to hit certain goals or need to do a certain amount of things on a really low end level, they don't have to be superstars out of the gate. But if they don't even feel that they can meet our low standards during the probationary period, then they're not really a good fit for us to be a part of our team in the first place. So I think that's a key for us. Instituting that portion is going to be really instrumental, because finding great employees, whether it's trainers or marketers or front desk people, it's been a problem. And it's not just an industry issue. I think that's just for any good business. Trying to find people to help you out is a problem for everybody.
Yeah, and staying on that probationary phase, it's also for their own good too. I mean, we explain it to them. If they get into this and they think our expectations are too high for them, well, I mean, we're not going to lower our expectations. We just assume more action on their end. And if that doesn't make sense for them, then that system is a place for them to exit then.
So one of the things I talk to a lot to my guests on here is we talk about, we call it head trash. You know, we all have certain things that roll around in our head that can sabotage us, sabotage our goals or whatever it is. What kind of head trash have you guys had to deal with over the last 4 years as you've been building this thing?
I think that's tough. I don't know. I guess for me, it's just, I think sometimes I get disappointed at certain marketing things or marketing outlets are not working as well as we wanted. I mean, we're still a growing business, and I'll always say to anybody that asks me, we're not experts in this area. And sometimes I just get disappointed with how things are going, and I struggle trying to figure out better ways to do things. And rather than just get stuck in that minutia of, you know, either feeling sorry for myself that things aren't working, it should be a phrase like, okay, well, what's the next opportunity? What can we do now? What's the step? I mean, this can't be a business where we take a couple things and either point fingers at whoever brought up the idea or to just be complacent. I think rather than just be in a reactive mode, I think we're doing a lot more things that are proactive now. And so I'm not sure if that fits your definition of head trash. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that would be the first thing that comes to my mind in terms of how I evaluate some things and things that, I mean, that's an area that I need to get better at for sure.
Sorry, Tom.
No, go ahead. That's cool.
Yeah, for me, for my head trash, you know, being here day in and day out, you know, I'm putting in some, you know, 12 to 14 hour days here. You know, I've got game plans every day on what I want to accomplish. And sometimes I could feel like maybe I didn't do something good enough. Maybe I didn't give someone the time that I feel like they deserved. Passing by, maybe I didn't have a conversation as long as I would want to with a member out on the floor. Maybe I didn't nurture my staff the way I thought of. And these are things that I wrestle around at the end of the day. You know, did I do good enough? Did I really accomplish as much as I could today? And I think, you know, ultimately, I just need to look for consistency and just do the best I can every day. And you can't expect perfection, because you could have the best plan of attack. Yeah. And if it doesn't go how you plan, you know, you have to have some wiggle room in there, I think, too. So it's ultimately just being flexible with what happens day in and day out, because I'm going to get pulled left and right and have a lot of balls thrown my way. But I think it's just accepting that I don't have to catch every ball that's thrown my way at the same time, too.
Yeah, it's easy to get hijacked, isn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah.
So what's been your biggest surprise, as you guys have been building this business? Has anything been like, holy cow, I didn't expect that, in a good or bad way?
Well, certainly the cars running into our gym was probably the biggest surprise. But I touched on the fact earlier that we had a lot of members transition from being just members to either being managers, front desk workers, personal trainers. Excuse me. I didn't expect that to happen, even as early as it happened. I think that just kind of proves that we're doing the right things and getting people excited about what we're doing here. I never would have guessed that. And that's sustained all of our job openings for a while. And so we've been very fortunate. And I'm happily surprised that that happened.
Did you pursue them or did they come to you?
I think it's maybe a little mixed. Both, but yep. I think, it's just weird. I remember the first couple months that we opened, we actually brought in somebody just to pick their brain. They had just signed up a couple weeks prior, and we sat down with her and just had a great conversation with her. I think it was like a half hour or something like that. I can't remember how long it was. And then just based upon that and how she liked the gym, she actually applied for a job and was with us for a while. So it's probably a mix, but I think it's probably more them coming to us at this point, which is fantastic for us.
Cool. How about you, Shane? What's been your biggest surprise?
I guess it's pleasant surprises, like along the lines of what Steve is saying. I mean, you know, we wanted to create a community here, and we wanted people to feel very attached to Midwest Fit Club. And there's been a lot of friendships developed here, just as far as members go. And it's really sprouted outside of MFC. And we have a lot of the people who are connected through the classes or maybe personal training. They set up times to get together outside of the gym. And I think that's just really healthy, too, having those awesome, positive connections with other individuals and like-minded people that are looking to do the same thing as you. And, you know, you see that, and that's just really rewarding, having that take place here. And, you know, the energy they feel while they're here is just so great. We get a lot of comments on the good energy we have here. Mm-hmm. And as far as members that have turned into employees, I mean, that's always really great. And, you know, I think that it's a compliment to what we do here. And in some cases, you know, it's been us seeing something in the individual that they don't necessarily see themselves, and bringing that to their attention and really selling them on the idea of where they can be, you know, in 6 months, a year from now.
Giving them some vision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess the mentoring and the friendships has been the most pleasant surprise throughout the whole process, that when you're thinking of a business, I mean, those things don't necessarily pop out to you right away.
Yeah. So you you guys mentioned that you opened another location recently. How do you know when to expand? What advice do you give to gym owners that might be thinking of expanding?
That is a fantastic question, and it's something that we wrestle with a lot, especially right now with some of the projects that we're looking at. I think the main thing for me is making sure that we are not detracting from one spot just to take care of another spot. So when we started Midwest Fit Club, we had a lot of great assets here that made us got us off to a very quick start and really made a great environment here. And then when the opportunity to take over the second location happened, it just was a real analysis to make sure that the person that was going to run that location, Adam, in our case, that we can replace the energy and the good things that he did here, just to make sure that we're not making our Naperville location weaker than what we're doing, what we were going to start to do in Darien. Mm-hmm. So it really was a resource evaluation to make sure we weren't spread too thin in both areas.
Well, what I find interesting is the first line of thinking that you went down was the people aspect of it. You know, man, we're going to take the, you said, was it Adam?
Yes.
You know, we're going to take Adam, who sounds like he's an A player. He's got good energy and there's a good vibe, and we're going to take him away. You know, what's going to happen next? And,
And on top of that, we have trainers that shuttle back and forth to both locations. So are we going to lose any core following for these trainers at our main location if they're going to be training in the other spot? So that, you're right. That was my primary issue with the whole thing, just trying to wrestle with that fact and make sure that Shane and I both felt comfortable making that move. And I think it's worked well so far. I'm happy with the decision we made with that.
Yeah, like what Steve was saying, I mean, we don't want to pass up any opportunities being a growing business, because, you know, it's all things in line with what we're trying to do. And, you know, you can't necessarily control when these things fall on your plate or your lap all the time. And you got to think about what's best for the current business itself right now, too, because we would never want to take away from the experience we have here. Or get to a point where we have to take on so many people so quickly that it somewhat makes our A player standard turn into a B or C player environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what steps did you take to make sure that you didn't miss a beat in the original location?
In the original location, we already had a really good relationship with a lot of the individuals that we had brought on, and we were working with them in some other environments leading up to this point. And the way we're trying to handle this now is kind of what I was alluding to earlier about constantly looking for that next trainer, constantly looking for that next front desk individual, and trying to be a little bit more proactive on that all the time so that we can be ready for these things when they come into place, so that not spreading ourselves too thin or not having the time to nurture individuals up to the point that we would want to.
And that's really prevalent for us right now, especially at our secondary location. Adam and some other individuals have identified a lot of opportunities for us to expand and do a lot more training. But it's making sure we have enough resources to take care of that. And it's cutting it really close, but we're taking a lot of time to make sure that we're going to do these projects right and make sure we can bank on these things happening on an annual basis.
So let's pretend that in 5 minutes from now, you two are going to have to walk on stage in front of 1,000 gym owners, and you get 5 minutes in front of them. What would you hope that they would all walk away with after they heard you guys run your mouth for 5 minutes?
That's an interesting question. I think for me, I would want to stress a couple of things. I would stress to put in as much effort building in your employee staff as much as you do trying to build up your book of business. I think without the people around us working with us every day, you know, we're nothing. And it's kind of a chicken or the egg argument. You know, what's more important, the employees or the customers? I think they're both equally important to me for a lot of different reasons. So I think investing the time and make your employees feel wanted, I think is would be number one. And number two, the lesson I'm learning the hard way right now is that even though you might wear a lot of hats and want to do a lot of different things, the real ultimate goal to free you up to do more important things is to delegate a lot of things. And specifically, I was the primary bookkeeper for both businesses for a while, and it got to be stressful, and I was missing out on doing a lot of other things. And I don't know if it was a control issue for me, but I found somebody to take over those duties. And I'll tell you, Tom, it's taken so much stress out of my life. It's amazing. And it's hard to give up control on certain things. When you're an owner and you are basically the main person that controls your destiny, it's hard to give up some of these things. And so it's for me, I'd really like to see more owners ease up on things and let people around you take some more control and take some more ownership in the business.
That's great stuff. That is awesome.
For me, if I had that audience and I was trying to get a takeaway, I'm kind of falling back on the health and fitness side. I've made the most progress in my own health and fitness in the last 4 years with this business than I ever have. And I think that for individuals going into this industry who are passionate about health and fitness, don't put your own goals on the back burner. Don't put your health and fitness on the back burner because you're trying to make this a little bit more of a priority. Because in actuality, if someone lets their health and fitness go, they're not going to be able to be as a productive leader or be able to stay as on top of their game as they would be if they were as focused on their health and fitness themselves as much as they could be. Hmm. And I think it's really important to take care of yourself, number one, and do what you think you need to do to make yourself as on point as you can be, for whatever that means to you.
That's good. I'm thinking of a buddy of mine who used to own a gym, and he would frequently say that, you know, with everything going on, he just found himself blowing off his own training and wasn't feeling as good and had less energy, and then he wasn't able to give his best to the business. So an interesting take from both sides of that here with you guys. So guys, as we kind of bring this thing to a close, you know, as we talked about off the air before, I shared that I always ask, which of the Strongpreneur promises resonates most with you guys? And I'd love to just hear your take and why that's the case.
Well, Shane and I have different points. And since I'm the more physically fit of the two of us, and I say that very, very sarcastically, I'm still going to go first. But I would say the point that resonates a lot with me is the point number four of I will make no excuses. I talked earlier about the opportunity to point fingers at other people if something does go wrong, and that's just very pointless, and it doesn't make any sense at all. I want to go back to something that happened a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Early on in the year, we brought on somebody to help us expand outside of the gym, and although the person was great, it just really didn't fit our goals of how we wanted that position to grow. So we ended up letting that person go, and I remember, as soon as they left, the door closed, and Shane turned to me and says, you know, what could we have done better to avoid that sort of thing? And that's just one of the nicer things that I've seen working with Shane, is just the selflessness that he has and the willing to get better with things. I mean, we could have just said, hey, you know, it was that person's fault. We did everything we could. You know, we have to take ownership in everything that happens in our business, especially when it doesn't go right. If it's a bad hire or a hire that doesn't work out, ultimately that comes back to us. And so I think it makes us feel less like a victim, like other people are doing bad things to us and we have no control over it. Mm-hmm. We do have control over it. And we take ownership in things as much as we can, as best we can. And it's something that I think about every day.
Good stuff, man. Shane?
I gravitate towards your point number two. I will do what I say I will do. I think verbal commitment is a huge thing. It means a lot to me and in a lot of fronts. With things I say to individuals, with things clients say to me, and I do hold people accountable for the things that they say. And on a lighter note, it still surprises me. I'll set up an appointment with somebody, you know, let's say it's 5 days from now, and they'll reach out. Are we still on for this time? Well, I heard otherwise. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hold myself to that. And I think it's real strange when people don't hold up to their verbal commitments. And it just means a lot to me. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
And I think that's probably the point that I struggle with a lot lately. I've had a lot of stuff on my plates, and I don't think I've lived up to all my expectations. And it's something that Shane and I talk about. It's holding myself accountable for that. And so I think out of the points on your list, although I gravitate towards number four initially, I think your second point is certainly the area that I can make the most improvement with, and something that, since I've delegated a lot of things, I'll have the time now to live up and live up to my end of the bargain here.
Well, that's good stuff, man. And listen, I appreciate you guys, first of all, taking the time to spend some time with us here today. But also, I really want to thank you for just being being real. And I mean, just that example there of just sharing a couple areas where you got to be better and stuff. Not everyone comes on here and does that. So I just want to thank you for that, because that's really the life of the entrepreneur. We're all slugging away, trying to be great and do awesome things. But the truth is, we all stub our toe quite often. So.
So inadvertently, this turned into a little bit of a therapy session for us.
Yeah. Steve and I are hugging it out right now. Yeah.
So Shane, how do you feel about that, right?
Yes.
What I'd like you guys to do is sit together on a couch and lean into each other and touch cheeks. Okay.
I'm glad this is not a video podcast. Now. It'd be very awkward at that point.
Yeah, that would have been good. Well, guys, like I said, I really appreciate you hanging out with us. If somebody wants to get in touch with you or have you on a different show or have you speak at something or learn more about the gym and come in and join, how do they find you?
Yeah, feel free to locate us right here in Naperville at Midwest Fit Club, 5019 Ace Lane. The number here is 630-922-1000. My email is shane@midwestfitclub.com. Steve's is steve@midwestfitclub.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the good stuff out there. And Tom, it was a huge pleasure, and you're doing a lot of good stuff out there, and we really appreciate your time too.
Thanks. I appreciate that, guys. You have an awesome, it's Friday now that we're recording this, so you guys have a great weekend, and I look forward to seeing you guys continue to grow your business. Hey, Strongpreneur Nation, if you like this episode of the Strongpreneur Nation podcast and you want to get more stuff to help you build a stronger life and a stronger business, to deal with the head trash, get back your time, build a kick butt brand, get more crap done, then I encourage you to join the Strongpreneur Nation Mastermind Group. It's a private closed group on Facebook that I would love to have you be a part of, where we can talk about anything and everything to help you get stronger in what you're doing in your business. So head over to Facebook, type in the Strongpreneur Nation Mastermind Group and request access, and we'll let you in after we teach you the secret handshake. All right, we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks.